Thank you. I love that song. Good morning, everybody, again. Pure imagination. Our friend, Mr. Albert Einstein. Whoa, I just about tipped over into the piano. Got lost in my imagination, I suppose. That was weird. Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we now know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. I'm going to invite you, before I get into this talk, if you have something to write with, if you want to write some notes on this. There's a few points, but I'm also going to take us into a meditation at the end of this talk where you will probably want to write down some notes for yourself, and I'll explain that in a little bit. So today, it's all in your head. We are talking about the six mental faculties that we were endowed with from the minute we stepped into this or crawled into this or were birthed into this world. We have these six mental faculties. It's a crazy day already. I just don't know what's happening. It's all in my head. So I'm going to take a deep breath as Jan took us into that beautiful prayer to breathe into the space. And this is really important because it's the breathing part that brings us back to that center, to shut off some of the monkey mind. So our six mental faculties, we're going to start with imagination. And there is actually two kinds of imagination. There's what we call synthetic imagination, which is when we go into our imaginations, we are pulling up things that we've already experienced in our life, memories that we already have, things that we are going to build upon. For example, a simple chair. And you know how many iterations of chairs there might be in the world for different purposes, different uses, all of those things. So synthetic imagination is when you literally sit down in your chair and go, wow, this one's not comfortable. I think I will improve upon the design. That's synthetic imagination. Creative imagination is that thing that we call genius. It is being in that space, free and clear, open imagining, and something pops in, and it is something that has not ever been created before. I want to define or clarify that term genius. We tend to use it as an adjective to describe a person as a genius. But the actual definition of genius is a noun. It is the genius that is what we get from God. Those ideas that pop in, we go, wow, I don't think anybody's ever thought of this before. We talk about the genius of some of the early classical composers, the Mozarts and so forth. It's like, wow, what happened? Where did that come from? It's that downloading. It's that getting ourselves, our conscious ego minds out of the way so we can open to that download of pure genius. So imagination, of course, is probably one of the most powerful mental faculties we have. Because if you think about it, because it's all in your head, you're thinking about it, right? If you've ever had a kid or a teenager that has taken the car out for the evening, your imagination is probably pretty active about, are they going to come home on time? Are they going to wreck the car? Are they going to, whatever it is going to do. And you can put yourself, your physical self, into a state of panic with imagination. I know I have done it. I have terrified myself about something that has not even happened yet in the future. It is called the future fear, but that imagination is working, and it works on your adrenaline. It works on everything in your body until you are so wrapped up and ready to just explode until you hear the car in the driveway from the teenager coming home, or you get the phone call that says, I'm on my way. We can go in the other direction. We can whip ourselves into such a frenzy about something that's coming that we're excited about, that the same thing happens. We can increase our heart rate. We can make ourselves flush If you've ever had a crush on anybody, you know what it feels like in your body just imagining what it would be like to kiss them, right? So the imagination is magnificently powerful in our lives. The second mental faculty is intuition. And we talk a lot about intuition. The basic for our purposes today in the spiritual practices, intuition is when we listen to God. The flip side of that is when we talk to God, we call that praying, but we're not really listening a lot of times. We're begging, we're pleading with God to fix things. But intuition is when we are actually listening, when we are quiet and still enough to hear the guidance, to hear that little piece of information, to hear something in someone else's conversation. You're walking through the store and you hear somebody just mention something and you know, here was that little piece of information. You might not even know them, most likely you don't. Or you walk by something else and you see the newspaper and you see a word on the headline and you say, there's that thing that I was thinking about. Here's a piece of guidance. We often get asked the question, and we get asked the question, I get asked the question a lot, how do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between your ego mind trying to find an answer to something and God actually, or Spirit actually giving you a piece of information? And the simplest response to that is, it is never frantic. The voice of intuition often feels like grace. It feels like this gentle, just this little whisper in the ear that says, here you go. Take this step. Take this next step. I had that example happen this week, actually, with our Wednesday night class. Our first one was this past Wednesday. And while I was preparing for that class, I was listening to some classical music, and I shared this with the class because it was absolutely a piece of intuition that became useful in the class that evening. I was sitting preparing, and I was listening to classical music, and this Rachmaninoff piece came on, and it triggered a memory, which we're going to talk about. That's another one of our mental faculties. It triggered a memory of the movie that came out, I think, in the 80s. It was called Shine, with Jeffrey Rush as a child prodigy pianist who just had this horrific relationship with his father, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he went off to conservatory to study and all of these kind of things. And what we were talking about in class was getting so focused, getting our mental energy so focused that we literally burn out our synapses. We burn out the chemicals in our brain when we don't take a break to breathe and meditate and so forth. And if you remember that movie, that's exactly what happened to the actor. I don't remember the concert pianist's name, but he had a psychotic breakdown that he never quite recovered from. He never quite recovered to get to the point where he could actually tap into that genius, the natural genius that he had as a pianist. And so that was just a piece of intuition that happened. I followed this lead and I said, I'm going to look that up. And I literally made a note of it and I thought, oh, this will be good for class somewhere down the road. And then the discussion came up. The discussion came up that night in the Wednesday night book study. So intuition, it's those kinds of things when you play with it. And I call it playing with it, because it's really a dance. It is really a dance with Spirit that you hear something and you say, okay, I hear it, but I'm going to take an action. I'm not just going to let it go on by. I'm going to take an action step. And they're usually small. But what I've found and what we know and what the studies show, the more that we do that, the more that we are in that dance. And the more we are in that conscious place of feeling like we're in that flow, where synchronicities show up and what we call coincidences, and wow, I didn't even realize that was going to happen, but look, it just did. And it unfolded in this very graceful, joyful way. So getting quiet, the importance of getting still for just a few moments, taking a deep breath, taking a yawn, just to turn off the focus circuits in our brains to give it a rest. Really, you know, we rest our body, we have to rest our brains as well. Cool. So the third mental faculty is memory. And an interesting thing is, of course, everything that we've ever experienced in our life gets stored somewhere in our neural circuits. And there's different kinds or different networks that do different kinds of memories, you know, for motor skills, for fine motor skills, all these things in different parts of the brain that light up when we pull up those memories. What's interesting about memory is we remember the things most that we care about, that we have some kind of an agreement with, that we have an interest in. Meaning, well, let me think about this for a second. I was going to say, you know how you can't remember some people's names? I don't want to suggest that you don't care about them, but there's kind of an element of that, that there's something not engaging enough about them. Or we just say, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Move on by, because we're too engaged in our own stuff to really connect for a minute to remember the name. And you'll find all kinds of tools, online tools for, you know, brain games and things like that to build your memory strength and power. But one of the cool things is to put together ridiculous combinations to remember somebody's name or to remember something. For me, it's usually words that rhyme. When I'm trying to remember somebody's name, I'll think of an object and I'll look at the person, and there's a reason that I remember the name because I associate them with an object or something along those lines. That's just a very simple example. But again, we can build our memory and slow the aging process to our brain by, guess what? Meditating, getting quiet, and breathing. You kind of see where I'm going with this. And I invite you, if you haven't already, to consider joining us on Wednesday nights, because this is exactly what we're talking about. The book, How God Changes Your Brain, and it is the most recent neuroscience on meditation and the science behind belief. So, just a suggestion. I'll refer to it again later in the wrap-up. So we have imagination, we have intuition, we have memory. The fourth mental faculty is reason. It's our ability to see cause and effect. We can reason out using stuff from memory. Okay, past experience said this. If I put my hand on a hot stove, probably going to burn myself. So it's learned stuff. It's coming from memory. But it is the reason to, you know, when you go something else that you haven't experienced yet, you can pull from it and say, I think if this point A to point B, this is probably what's going to happen. I like to refer to the reason thing as the thing that a lot of people on YouTube videos don't exercise. The here, hold my beer, watch this kind of stuff, where you, the viewer, knows probably what's coming next and it's not going to end well. And the person in the video that has lost all sense of reason or shut off that function to say, yep, I'm going to try this, and we all cringe when exactly we know what's coming. Perception is the next mental faculty. And our perception is huge, right? Perception forms every opinion that we've ever had in our life. Perception, again, is a byproduct of memory. It's a byproduct of taking, okay, this happened in the past, therefore I label it bad, and any time from the future on when this thing happens or this person says this thing, my perception is it's bad. But we have that beautiful, wonderful thing called choice. We have been given free will. We have been given that power in our brains that we can consciously say, well, what if? What if that's not bad? What if that's not a bad thing? What if I was taught this? I was conditioned to believe this certain thing. What if I go into another culture? What if I go into a different part of the country, a different part of the world, and I meet people who this is a sacred tradition for them? This experience is a sacred thing for them. What if? They don't call it bad. They call it sacred. So our faculty of perception gives us the opportunity to take a few steps back and, oh yes, once again, take a breath and meditate and say, well, what if? What if I could look at this differently? That's a very, very powerful tool, is it not? And especially right now in our very divided world, I think it is our job, especially in the spiritual practice that we have, in the consciousness practices that we do, that we teach, and that we live, is leaning into that place that says, what if there's something good behind what's happening? What if I don't have to argue with my neighbor? What if I just decided to walk out my front door this morning and smile rather than doing some other gesture with your hand towards your neighbor? Smiling is one of the most powerful, easiest ways to change your mood, lift your spirits, change your thinking. We've all heard the studies that it takes about three times as many muscles to frown as it does to smile. And smiling at yourself in the mirror in the morning, I laugh at myself sometimes in the mirror in the morning, especially when I see my hair when I first wake up. But it's being able to do that. Everything changes in an instant. We often think in this practice that everything has to be hard and we have to slog through it and it takes energy and concentrated thought. And the truth is it doesn't. A simple yawn, a simple smile. So, imagination, intuition, memory, perception, reason. Then the sixth one is will, W-I-L-L. We have it on one of the, where is it, in this room, in our sanctuary, we have quilts of the 12 powers of unity. It's there in the corner. And it's a beautiful thing. I know you can't put the camera on it. But the power of will is not willpower. The power of will is our mental capacity to give ourselves a conscious command and follow it. So if I say I'm going to do something, the power of will is the energy that says, yes, I'm going to take the action step, I'm going to do this thing, I am going to cause myself to take an action to the next thought or the next step or the next idea. That's the power of will. Again, it's not forcing something to happen. We're easing back into that idea of our practice that this isn't, you know, I'm going to manifest this thing by giving it all of my mental energy and putting all of my thought all over it, boom, it's supposed to manifest. And of course it doesn't. Because we're trying to force something that is not ours to force. Our job in the power of will is to create the container, to create the idea of the container, to allow intuition to come in, to allow imagination to do its thing, to allow reason, to allow all of these faculties. And the pattern of all of this is, yes, we can identify these things scientifically and in the neuroscience and all of those things. We can watch the parts of the brain light up when we're doing functional MRIs of different things that we can measure scientifically. But all of these things together that live in this incredible machine mind-boggling, so to speak. But I like to look at it as the mystery. We have the capacity, all of these capacities that we have been endowed with, and we have used them to categorize and study and compartmentalize and list and name so that we can communicate what it is that we're learning, that we learn about the human body, that we learn about the human brain. But the mystery that I probably will always embrace is I don't want to know it all. I don't, because then what's the point? There's nothing to explore. There would be nothing left to explore. We say, okay, there it is, we figured it all out. And then what? My belief is that the mystery continues. As much as we continue to try to figure out everything, that the mechanisms and the chemicals and the electrical stuff that happens in the human brain, it's all good. It is fascinating. And what I know is that the more that I learn about it, my interest in it, and I keep reading about it, and the more we're doing with this book study, the more I realize, as we've probably all heard, the more I know, the more I don't know. And I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that. Because I like the mystery. I like to know that I have curiosity, that there are things in the world that are still going to fascinate me until I move on to wherever we go next, whatever form we might take. We might just be, as we see in science fiction, often the floating brain. We might not need bodies anymore. We'd just be these big masses of things, just, hey, how you doing, you know, kind of stuff with, you know. I don't know. But what I do know is that when I am connected in curiosity, when I am connected in the joy of exploring, that is where spirit lives. That is when genius comes through. That is when that breakthrough idea for your business or for your relationship or for some other thing in the human experience, that's when the breakthroughs happen. That's when the ideas come through. And I will circle back to that idea. We get there much more quickly if we would stop and breathe and meditate and contemplate. Go lay in the grass outside and look up at the clouds. If you used to do that as a child, I highly recommend you do it now. Just make sure that if you're in Texas, you find some place that there's not a fire ant mound. You know, sit in a lawn chair, whatever it might be. But look up at the sky. I know I mention this often, but the night sky in particular, that is the place. My office, my shed, is about 50 yards from the house. And walking back and forth, and sometimes when I'm going out there and working at night, just to stand out and look up and see the constellations still fascinates me and blows my mind in a very, very good way. And when I do that, I feel everything calm. Just like yawning, just like taking that breath, everything settles down and I go, okay, right now, right here in this moment, I'm okay. Everything's okay. The stress falls away. The to-do, the crazy, crazy mind, monkey mind stuff that we put ourselves into on a daily basis gets quiet for a moment. So I'm going to invite you to get quiet as we move into meditation. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to do a very short version of what is called a visioning. It's not envisioning and it's not visualizing. It is a practice, and this is where you're going to need your piece of paper. If you don't want to write it down, that's okay. Just enjoy this. But this is a process where we go into that quiet place of the mind and listen for what Spirit is trying to say to us, not what our ego is trying to say to us. But moving into allowing all of that beautiful creative energy to move through us. So I invite you to take a deep breath. And while we're doing that, I'm going to give you this other quote from Albert Einstein. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. But we have created a society that honors the servant and forgets the gift. So we're going to move into the gift, shall we? So take another deep breath. Gently close your eyes if you feel so inclined. I invite, or you can just do a soft gaze. You don't have to squint your eyes. Everything is easy. Let's make this easy. And all of the information about your mental faculties, you can let go of. If you're curious, let them roll around. Do a little more study, but for right now, know that your brain is operating. And we're going to breathe into that space, and we're going to put our focus and our attention on our heart so that we move away from thinking so hard to feeling. And as you take a deep breath, another deep breath, focus that energy on the breath. And as you feel your body relax and calm and center, I invite you to imagine your happy place. A place that you can go to in your imagination. It may be an actual geographic place, but in your mind you can go there because you know it just makes you feel so good. And you can relax and breathe and notice. And if you find your mind drifting, just bring it back gently. Bring it back to that place. And if you feel any anxiety, maybe saying to yourself, I don't have a place, simply focus on your breath and on your heartbeat. Invite Spirit in with a warm greeting, with a smile. Go ahead and smile to yourself now and feel your energy change. Maybe it's Jesus, maybe it's the Buddha, maybe it's Kuan Yin. A spirit guide or an ancestor, just say hello. Let them in. And know that you are being surrounded and supported and lifted up right now. And that anything that may be going on in your life that you need some direction for, go ahead and bring that to mind. And as you breathe and see yourself surrounded by all of this support, we ask this first question. You can ask this of yourself. You can ask it of your guides. What is Spirit's highest ideal for my life right now? And we listen. What is Spirit's highest ideal for my life right now? And if you find yourself overthinking or feeling like you're not doing it right, let that go. Simply write the first thing that has come to your mind. What is Spirit's idea? What is Spirit's highest ideal for my life right now? And knowing that these words that are coming into our minds right now are divinely provided, ask the next question. What do I need to embrace in order for this ideal to be manifest? What do I need to embrace? And we listen with our hearts, not with our heads. We listen with our hearts. Knowing that the words or the pictures or the symbols or the ideas or the colors, whatever is coming to us now, are divinely provided, we ask the next question. What must I release in order for this ideal to become manifest in my life? What must I release? I invite you not to judge anything that comes up, that comes through. Simply write it down. Even if it doesn't make sense at the moment, write it down. Knowing that these words and ideas and symbols and inspirations are divinely provided, we ask the next question. What must I become in order for this ideal to be manifest in my experience? Who or what must I become? And we listen with an open heart, without judgment, knowing we are connected in the one mind. What must I become in order for this ideal to manifest in my experience and in my life? Finally, knowing that all of these ideas and these colors and these symbols or these words or these pictures are divinely provided, we ask, is there anything else? Is there anything else I need to know right now? And And so knowing that these ideas and these symbols and these words and these pictures, whatever it might be that has come through the one mind into our individual minds to give us the unique piece of information that we alone need. It's for us. Knowing that it is right here, right now, the next piece of information, I invite you to commit to doing one thing in the direction of that ideal. One little baby step, period. And if that feels scary, take a deep breath, yawn, stretch, bring yourself back to that beautiful place that centers you, that is available in every second of your life. And if you're out in the middle of doing your day or taking that step and you feel fear come up again, smile. Smile, yawn. No one will know that you're doing your spiritual practice. So thank you for going deep today. Thank you for giving yourself the gift of playing with your intuition. And thank you for using your imagination in world-changing ways. Baby steps. With a smile, with joy, with love. And while you're still in this nice, beautiful, calm soup, sing along as I go back to the piano, or not, just enjoy. Namaste.
Settle back, close your eyes, free your mind, just be. Watch your breath come and go as it takes you out to sea. God is here. Feel the beating of your heart. God is calling.